Preacher, I'm amazed at how good my Savior is to me. I mean, I look around at my blessings, and I'm telling you what, I'm just amazed. Brother Jimmy, I'm still amazed at how good God is. I mean, just a redneck from Wilkes County, and I say that with respect, not condescending toward rednecks, because I are one. But bless God, He'd take somebody like me. I mean, plucked out of the red clay, dirt, and mud of Thurman, North Carolina. Saved my soul from a devil's hell. Established my goings. Put my feet on a solid rock. And prepared me a place in heaven. And bless God, just as He did my mama less than 3 weeks ago, Brother Kenny. He gonna come back and get me one day whenever He gets my bride chamber made. He said, I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I do, He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Bless God, He got mama's done a little bit before mine. And I'm looking forward to the day that I'll go be with my Savior, my Redeemer. Brother Tam, your mama's over there. You know, and others, your daddy's over there, Miss Jane. Just think about what heaven's got that we don't have down here. Boy, it's good to be in the Lord's house. Good to have so many visitors with Brother Gary. Good to have you. And I look around, see a few other visitors. I pray that God will make you welcome here. And if somebody's not already shaking your hand, then consider it shook. If somebody's not hugged your neck, then I consider your neck hugged. If you've got a copy of God's Word, turn to the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 2 this morning. About 10 years ago, I run a revival here. And I preached a series of 4 or 5 messages. And then little did I know that some 4 months later, I would be back staying in the pulpit. It'll be 10 years this coming Friday, April the 13th, that the Lord called me to the work here at Calvary. And I want you to know how inferior that I felt and how inferior I still feel. This is a great work in progress. It's a great church. And I mean, you'd have to look high and low to find a church with as much compassion for sinners and much love for the ones that really need loving on. I mean, we're mission-minded. We do those things. But let's be real careful not to get caught up in that and think that we're something great. Because once we start to think that, then we will take on the attributes and the characteristics of the Laodicean church, and that we'll say, we don't need anything. And that's what they said. They said, we're increased with goods, we're rich. And basically they said, we have need of nothing. But then God turned the tables on them and said, but knowest not that thou art blind and miserable and wretched and naked. In other words, they still had needs. So if we ever get to that point of thinking we have arrived, we've not. We got a long way to go. And He told us to occupy or do business until He comes. Well, basically, He hasn't come back yet. And until He does, we need to be about His business. So let's just stay focused on the main thing. And the main thing is this, that we are evangelical in our thoughts, that the preaching's still the forefront. If you got a copy of the pastor, this was kind of my thought leading into this message. Bless God, we've not built the church around entertainment. We've not tried to build it on some social programs. We've not built it on any kind of personalities or popularity. Bless God, it's built upon and around the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ. Even affirming the scriptures that we put on the side of our van, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And that's all we've got to plead. We plead the blood. But it's so good to be here this morning. I look around, I see so many faces back through there that every one of y'all are a witness. I enjoyed my own brother's testimony during the Sunday school class this morning. Brother John had asked my oldest brother, Robbie, if he would open up. And I'm telling you what, Robbie, he just shared his heart. And I'm telling you what, that was a blessing. Like I said, many tears were shared in that classroom this morning. But every one of you, Brother Jerry, you've got a testimony. Man, I'd love to sit down to hear it sometime. Every one of you's got a story. Every one of you, if you had a slate and that slate, Brother Tam, had recorded out your life, every one of you would have to attest to the power of Almighty God. Because, Brother Kenny, we see how weak we really are and how great He really is. I'm telling you, boy, God's good. Brother Chris asked me if I would, and we're going to share this with you right now. For the Wilkes Prison Ministry, they're having the Porta Pit, I think, chicken beans, slaw, rolls, dessert all over at Memorial Park this coming Friday. And if you've got 20 or more, they'll be glad to deliver it for you. The plates will be served at 11 o'clock, and all the proceeds will go to build up the Wilkes Prison Ministry. So if you're interested in that, you see Brother Chris, and I'll have this paper right here for you. I have nothing else to give, so we'll just go ahead and stand, and I'll just let you reverence the reading of God's Word this morning. no other announcements except this. Martha did want you to know that the celebration that we're going to have next Saturday evening to honor that 10th year of pastorate here at this church, that all the food, I guess, as well as drinks, everything's provided by the church. So if you're used to one of them that you know I like your cooked cabbage, if you're Carolyn James or whoever you are that's got different things, if you don't bring that to that meal, just get with me after service and I'll fix the time that you bring it to the house or something. That'd be all right, Carolyn. All righty. About 10 years ago this coming Friday, I preached a message here about the passing of the mantle. That was the first message that I preached here in the pulpit as the new pastor of Calvary. And I took some of this same scripture. We're going to use a little different part of the scripture today, but the greatness, and I say this with all respect and admiration, the greatness of Brother Feldman Cheek intimidated me. And it still intimidates me because that man stood and he stood strong. Now, you say you shouldn't be heaping, giving him praise. The Bible said, let him be counted worthy of double honor. I'm just using scripture here. But your daddy served well. And he served not just well, but he served steadfastly over the years. I'm talking nearly four decades. He watched some of your babies grow up and get married and then have babies. Now, I've already been here 10 years. For you to understand that, these kids that were now, where's my six-year-old? You've seen them up here singing. This is your little bitty ones. They're now driving cars. That's the kind of time that will elapse if you're not very careful. The next thing you know, you turn around and your life is but a vapor and it seems like it's gone. But that's the way that Brother Feldman was here for almost 40 years. He married your children. He buried your families. And bless God, he stood in this place. So whenever his mantle was then left behind for me to take it up and go on, man, it scared me to death and it scares me now. Because this thing was never built upon Feldman Cheek. It was never built upon him. Therefore, I'm afraid, brother, I'm going to mess something up. It was built upon the precepts and the word that you hold in your hands, the King James Bible. And since it was built upon that, that's why this thing has still prospered. That's why whenever a missionary is being sent to the field, we can still dig deep and send them out there with some money to help them with their plane fares and the things that they do. And we can still help build orphanages and we can still help. And I didn't even realize it until just recently that Brother Philip Moore is resigning his church. I'll go ahead and tell you because he's announced it now. But Brother Philip's the one that I mentioned that's leaving Cherry Grove and going on the mission field. And, you know, I'm saying that Calvary's always been mission-minded. But it's continuously going and doing the works of Christ. That mantle has been passed. And I'm going to preach something about just beyond the mantle. I don't know what you would title this. Maybe asking for the hard things. Or beyond the mantle. Whatever you want to term this message. However how you want to title it. But I would ask you this. Do you have enough faith? And are you bold enough in your faith to do what Elisha did? You say, well, what did Elisha do? And we'll answer that question. He asked for a double portion. Not just a double portion of what he already possessed. And he didn't find the weakest link. He didn't find the most shallow servant. Bless God, he looked at one brother John that knew the score. He went to the one that was able to call fire down from heaven that would consume the sacrifice and slay the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove. He didn't just pick out some little weak link, bless God. He went to the man that could pray, the man that was with subject of like passions as we are, that could pray and his very prayer would shut up the heavens over rain. That's the man that Elisha was looking toward. I'm talking about the man that even as his prayer was shut up, the heaven prayed again. And then he said, go look again. And it was the little cloud shaped like a man's hand. And he could hear the sound as of abundance of rain. That's the one that Elisha put his eyes on. Are you so bold as to say, give me double what he's got? Not double what I've already got, but double what he had. Now, brother, that'll cause you to think. Let me ask you this. If you're saved, you have the ability, Brother Tommy, to ask for more. You can. And the Bible said he would give more grace to the humble. Did he not say that? Yeah, it did. There's more grace. But some of you don't desire more grace. Some of you wouldn't want the double portion. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Let me find my spectacles. You're already standing. I'll preach your whole message. It won't even let you sit down. Boy, there's a lot in here. But for sake of the reading of the time, I'm going to basically just pick up over here where the mantle is about to be left, because that's, we're beyond the mantle now. That's what we're preaching about today. So the Bible said that Elisha, as you know, he was the protege. He's following his mentor, Elijah. And you could back up into 1 Kings chapter number 22 and read the back end where Elisha, he killed the oxen. He broke down the yoke and he used that as an instrument to build a fire to cook the oxen. And then he just took up and he started following Elijah. And now we're into the reading here. In verse number 6, it said, Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they had were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Now, I'm telling you what, to ask that, you are confident in your faith. You're sure in your walk with Christ. Because if you ask for a double portion of something that that kind of a person of stature had, Brother Chris, you're asking a big thing. Now, Brother Chris, when we were discussing this some time back, and he brought it back to my remembrance, was this. As the Bible said, where is the God of Elijah? He used a quote that said, well, where are the, what was it, Brother Chris? Where are the Elijahs of God? That'd probably be the greater question, because where is the God of Elijah? Where he's always been. He's the same. He never changes. He said, I'm God. I change not. But where are those Elijahs? Where are those Elishas? So we continue our reading, and it said, and he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. So I told you we could preach this message as being beyond the mantle or asking for a hard thing. And there it is in verse number 10. It said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof, and saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell upon from him and went back and stood by the bank Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the God of Elijah? And he also, and when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Brother Jimmy McGlamory, so good to have you and your dear wife. Would you ask God to bless our scripture reading, and then we'll be seated. Amen. Every message is going to have an evangelical tone to it, and it's going to have a message directly to the lost people. If I can get this light right here, I mean, I can't hardly see. Is that back there somewhere? There you go. Wow. I looked straight up at it. But anyway, the message is going to be a challenge to us that are already saved. But as I want you to think about this, there might be somebody sitting on the pew beside you that's lost and undone without God. And asking for a hard thing is namely no different for the lost person than it is for me. Because, Brother Varun, as we ask for the hard things in our ministry or in our walk with Christ, there's certain things that happen in our lives. And Brother Steve asked the question. Steve Fall posed a question a little while back. And Brother Steve, your question is going to factor right into this message today. And it's namely this. Why don't we do the things of God? Why don't a lost person get saved? Why doesn't somebody step out on faith to do more? Why are we so sheepish about serving our Savior? Why are we weak when it comes to the things that are so strong? There's nothing stronger than our Savior. There's nothing stronger than the Holy Spirit of God. I'm talking about, Brother Tam, through faith, the Bible said that if we just had the slightest of that, that we can move a mountain. We can say to yonder mountain, be thou removed, and it would be. Our brother, that's mountain-moving kind of faith, and we have access. We can tap right into that, but yet it seems like like we don't. And I wonder about these things, but I'm going to ask you today, why don't we ask for the hard things? He said, you've asked of me a hard thing. Why don't we ask for the hard things? We're beyond the mantle. We have now passed the mantle from one ministry to another. You've gone beyond being lost unto being saved. You've took up that mantle, which is grace, and now you wear it as a cloak of God's righteousness, knowing that your own righteousness is filthy. Your own righteousness is vile. It just is. Brother Tim, we're dirty, and there's nothing good in any one of us. And we move, once we move beyond that, and we're beyond the mantle, you were lost, and now you're found. You were cursed, but now you're blessed. You were dead, but now you live. Every way you want to look at it, you were in darkness, but now you're in light. Put it any way you want to. Once we're beyond the mantle, and once you attain grace by faith, believing that Jesus Christ did die your cross, He did die your death. He is your substitutionary death. He is your sacrificial lamb. Once we move beyond that, Brother Chris, why don't we ask for more? Why don't we ask for the hard things? And that trouble has been troubling me in my mind. Why don't we ask for the hard things? I want to share with you just a few things today. Why we are not willing to take up that mantle, or why we don't wear it with honor. And bless God, brother, it's an honor to tell somebody that I'm a child of the King. Amen. You've got a goodly heritage. The Anderson name in this county has always been a good name. There are names here that are synonymous with all kinds of different things. Some of them, they were just rough people. And I'm not belittling the family. I'm just saying, if you ever heard a certain family name, there was trouble associated in that family. It's the same way with churches. Every time a church's name pops up, you're like, oh my, they're having trouble again. It's not a surprise, because they have trouble all the time. But bless God, you've had a goodly heritage and a good name. And bless God, you ought to be proud to tell somebody, bless God, my name is Kenneth Anderson. Bless God, you ought to be proud to tell somebody that you're a child of the King. Bless God, but tell me, you shouldn't sheepishly say that I'm saved, but you ask somebody if they're saved by God's grace, and they say, yeah, I'm saved. I'm saved. What? Be glad, Brother Gary, that I'm saved by God's grace. You can be bold in your faith without putting it in their face. You can be bold in your faith without being condescending toward them just because they're not saved. But, bless God, you ought to be glad and proud of your godly heritage. Amen. Bless God, you're a child of somebody. You're a child of the King.
Yes.
Our church is a good church. Brother Gary, I'm not ashamed to tell people I'm the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church. It actually makes me glad. Why? Because of the brick and mortar? No, because I represent the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But you're a part of the little flock that God's gave me the charge over. That just tickles me to death, because I see you come in, or I see you go out. Man, that blesses my heart. No, hey, he's part of our flock. Your testimonies are living witnesses and living testimonies.
Yes.
Brother John, we're beyond the mantle. Why don't we ask, in verse number 10, the hard things? I'm going to show you why. And as we look at Elijah, look to yourself. As we look at Elijah, look at yourself. Whether you're looking at Elijah or whether you're looking at Elisha, look at yourself and see where you're at in this great realm of God's thinking and in this great plan that God's got. Where are you at? And are you willing to ask for the hard thing? He said, I want double what you've got. Do you realize that if you ask double of what Elijah had, you're asking for an abundance of blessings? Because the miracles that man worked is so, they're just amazing. But if you ask for a double, what's double? What's double? Y'all were good in math. That's twice. It's two times. What's a portion? What's a portion? What's that? A part of. Your individual lot. Your individual serving, if you will. That's my portion. If I give you a portion of green beans, guess what? I had a big pot and I give you your part. I give you your serving. So what Elisha is saying is, I want twice of not your earthly gain, not your mantle itself. But he said, I want twice of thy spirit. In other words, he said, what you got with God, I want to have twice what you've got. I want to enjoy twice, exactly two times what you've got. Yes. Brother Tam, if you ask for twice of nothing, I asked Cindy coming up the road, and bless her heart, she's sitting there, let me get my calculator out. No, she didn't do that. But Miss Jan, if I said, what's twice of nothing? If you get a double portion of nothing, guess what you've still got? You've got nothing. So bless God, if you're going to pick the weakest link and you're going to pick the weakest vessel and you're going to pattern your life after that, guess what? You're going to still end up way shy of what God would have for you. Bless God, find yourself in the scriptures and use that as your basis. Use that as your Cadillac. Use that as your way to something far greater, because if you ask it of God, Brother John, I believe he'll grant it unto you if you'll just be willing. But there's some reasons that we won't ask the hard thing. It's the same reason that people won't say, Brother Robbie, give me the van keys. I'm going to drive a van. You said, oh, here we go. We're going to go down that route again. Brother Robbie needs help with the vans. We had Justin and Lindsay. If you've not noticed lately, Lindsay's great with child. She's slightly pregnant. She looked like she swelled an oblong watermelon. So they're having to step back. So, well, let Robbie drive two of them. Maybe Robbie can drive four trips. Maybe Robbie can do more. It's the same reason that we won't say, let me open a Sunday school class. Let me go knock on a few doors. Let me have the keys to the van. Let me teach a Sunday school class. Let me sign up for Bible school. Let me do this or let me do that. It's because when you do that, you're asking sometimes for a hard thing. Anybody here really, really, really enjoy standing up in front of people? Raise your hand. You really enjoy just getting up in front of people. Yeah, the hands don't go up. Oh, Miss Ava loves it. An entertainer on your hands. I want to be real quick about this, but I want to share with you why we don't ask for the hard things. Go back into the scripture in verse number 10. The Bible said, he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. But here's what he said. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall so be unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. We know the story. He did see. So I'm going to open up with this. One of the main reasons is that we regard fear in our hearts. Brother Steve, when you posed that question, why don't people come to Christ? Why don't people get saved? Why don't people enjoy the manifold blessings of God? It's because they regard fear in their heart. And it's namely this. If I step out on faith, if I stand up and step out, I don't know what's going to be required of me. I don't know what this God that's convicting me and drawing me and wooing me, I don't know what that God might require of me. And then, brother, and that's not just regarding fear, but not just a fear of what God might require of me, Miss Dot, it's fear of what the one down the pew or across the building is going to think about me. And that we regard that fear. I don't know what, they know my life and they know that my testimony is ruined and I'm a this or I'm a that. And they label themselves with their sin and they associate that sin with their life. And then they're about to put that life on an altar. And they're like, oh man. And Brother Tamwell, they regard that fear. It's the fear of the unknown. It's the fear of what others will think. It's the fear of what God might require of them. It's the fear of God, where God might send them. It's the fear. There's so many fears associated. And bless God, if you could just get past that fear and step out on faith, somebody might get saved by God's grace. I'm afraid of what I'll have to give up. Bless God, you won't have to give up anything. Brother Jerry, you get saved by God's grace, you won't have to give up anything. You said, show me that in the scripture. Robbie, God takes it away from us. You don't have to give it up. God will remove it from you. He'll change your desires. And once you become a new creature in Christ Jesus, bless God, you will want to lay these troubles aside. You will want to yoke up with him. Why? Because you want to get close to him, that he then might remove some more troubles out of your life. And when he removes them, Brother Varun, he don't just browbeat you with them. The Bible says there's a sea of forgetfulness. He has to drop them in there. Why? He don't want to bring it up and pound you with it every time you turn around. But every one of us, we won't ask for the hard things, Brother John, because we regard fear in our hearts. I want to take you to a verse of scripture in the New Testament. If you'd like to flip over with me, you don't have to. I'll just promptly read it to you and we'll go on here in just a minute. But in the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter number 1, in verse number 6, the Bible says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let me tell you, my friends, if you regard fear and you only regard fear, you're never going to get the blessings that God's got in store for you if that's the way you operate. I know growing up and my dad worked second shift and, I'm going to tell myself here again, Robbie, as a kid, I was scared. I shared a bedroom with him and he too would work second shift. And then it was only after they came home from work. Dad had come home and Robbie would come home and we shared a bed. We shared a bedroom. I know that's, I ain't sharing a bed with nobody. Well, that's the way it is. When you got seven people living in a 3-bedroom house, you're going to stack up or you're going to sleep in shifts or something. But it was only after my big brother come home and slipped into the bed beside me. Why? I was still in school. He was older than I. So he would come home. And as he would come home, Brother Kenny, and he'd slip into bed. And it was only then that I could soundly and surely drift off to sleep and sleep well. Why? Because I had a little bit of fear. It's the fear of the unknown. There was things going on. My dad was in law enforcement. Somebody shot his car up. Always somebody threatening to kill us. And we had a Crime Stoppers phone in the house. And here I am, a kid, answering the Crime Stopper phone. Hello, Crime Stoppers. You know, that's crazy stuff. But it caused me. Somebody back there got a chuckle out. That's a true story. That Crime Stopper phone's still there, ain't it? I had fear, Brother Tam. And I remember one time, Mom probably didn't know she had done it, but she had rang out the mop. And she had propped that mop up. Here's our bedroom window. And she had propped that mop up right there. Well, there was a pole light right there at the back corner by our neighbor's house. And that wet mop and the way that that stuff flowed out, it looked just like somebody's hair. And they were standing here at my bedroom. And that thing caused me fear until he come home and Dad come home. Everybody got in bed. And then finally, the next day after we got up and went to school and come home, I saw what it was. It was a mop. But you're saying, what's that all about? What I'm saying is we all have certain things that scare us. We have a little bit of fear. But let me tell you something. Lost person here today, a Christian that's about ready to step out on faith, you have nothing to fear in Christ Jesus. Brother Jimmy, I can only imagine you pastor churches in Wilkes County, Oak Forest and Friendly Grove and this church and that church. But bless God, when you step out on faith, as Brother Larry Adams did when he left Gordon Baptist Church and said, I'm going to go into missions or I'm going to do this or do that. Bless God, you have to lay aside any fear associated with the unknown and just step out on faith to go do what God's called you to do. You're asking a hard thing when you say, God, give me that double portion. But if you always regard fear, Sam, you won't step out and you won't do that. Do you know you'll never accomplish greatness until you attempt greatness? Do you hear what I'm saying? If you have chosen to live in mediocrity, you have chose to just go by the status quo. You just want to live here and I just want to be the pastor of this church. And as long as the attendance balances out, we keep the place, all the bills paid and everything just kind of even keel and nobody gets hurt here and not too many get hurt there and everything just kind of goes along. I'm just going to ride this thing out. That's not what I want. Brother Tim, I want to see God's blessing. I want to see souls saved. I want to see regular baptisms. I want to see the works of Christ and them manifested in here. And I'm not going to do that if we don't ever attempt greatness. But if we don't attempt it, we will never achieve it. 714 home runs is the number of home runs that Babe Ruth hit. 714. But did you know that he also struck out over 1,100 times? Now, wait a minute. Why don't we focus on the 1,100 strikeouts? Bless God, we're not going to ever remember 1,100 strikeouts. Here comes old strikeout King Ruth. No, he was the Babe. And bless God, when he was swinging, and this is on the other age, Brother Tim, this is beyond steroids and enhancement drugs. I mean, he's swinging for the fence because he loved the game. Bless God, we ought to love the game. We ought to love the being around God's people. We ought to love being in here, Brother Tim, and just serve him wholeheartedly without fear of striking out. Swing for the fence, Brother John. You might strike out. You might strike out twice as many home runs as you hit, but I'd rather strike out for my Jesus to hit a home run for the devil any day of the week. I'm going to bring this up too while I'm on that. You said you got your cell phone out in church. Yeah, I want you to hear this. Listen to this man. Forced out of their family home, had to go to work as a child to support his family. His mother died. He had to go into family business then the family business failed. He ran for the state legislature and lost. He borrowed money from a friend just to get into school, to a law school, and ended up failing out there. Went in again and made it through that time. Ran for state legislature again. This time he won. He was engaged to be married, but his childhood sweetheart died. And then after that, he had a nervous breakdown, spent 6 months in bed rest, sought to become the speaker of the legislature, was defeated, sought to become an elector, was defeated, ran for Congress and lost, ran for Congress again and lost, ran for Congress again and won, ran for the Senate of the United States and lost, sought the vice presidential nomination of the party and won, ran for U.S. Senate again and lost again. What's that all about? Then he was elected to become the 16th president of the United States. That was the story of Abraham Lincoln. Now listen, if you only regard fear, or this, the next one that leads right into that, if you only regard fear, or you only reference the failures in your life, you're never going to win, Brother Tim. You're always going to be a loser. You're always going to be on the losing end. Don't regard fear and don't always reference the failings, bless God. You're a winner. Yes, say that in yourself right now. I am a winner. Bless God, Brother John. The Bible says you're not just a conqueror, but bless God, you're more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror through Him. Why do we let these things beset us, and why won't we ask for greatness? It's because we regard fear. It's also because we continually run the risk of failure. And I just can't take that kind of failure, preacher. If I ever become a pastor, I'm sure my church would flop. With that attitude, you might just flop. You might just fail. But just because you fail doesn't make you a failure. It means you had a setback and you back up and you regroup. Just because you feel that way, you're sitting under your juniper tree, you're hiding out in the cave of Adullam while the man of God, the king's trying to kill you. That was Saul trying to kill David. David had been anointed the king by the horn of Samuel's oil, and there he is. He's now elevated to the place, and the people are saying that Saul has killed his thousands. Man, that sounds good if you're King Saul right now, but how about that next verse? Yeah, but David has slain his tens of thousands. That don't sound too good now to the sitting king. So what do we see? We see Saul in his jealous rage come up and said, I'm going to kill that little booger. I'll pin him to the wall with a javelin. And we see David hid out in a cave. And he had Saul delivered into his hand. He goes into the cave to relieve himself. What it said, to cover his feet with a skirt. And David was hid in the cave and could have cut the hem of his skirt off. Could have killed him. But he respected what God had done in the life of Saul. But if we constantly live in fear, and we constantly say, well, there's no way, and I'm just going to regard this as failure. I can't do that. You'll never do it. You'll never do it if that's what you walk into this. When you do something, walk into it saying, I got this. With the Lord as my helper, goes back to the verse Robbie read, or referenced to Philippians 4:13. Brother Robbie says what? He said, I can do all things. Right. Now you put your period there, and guess what? You're getting ready to fail. That's not what that scripture says. That verse said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Right. Bless God, we don't ask for the hard things because we regard fear, and because also that we run the risk of failure whenever we have the things. I'm going to be closing here in just a little bit. We're going to go over to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Robbie was all over it whenever he opened up our Sunday school class this morning. 11th chapter, book of Hebrews, and verse number 1. I'm not sure that this is not the greatest. It is for those of you that are already saved. It's maybe not for the ones that are still yet lost. For the ones lost, I still think that you worry about fear. I still think fear is your greatest. But for those of us that are still not ready to ask the hard things, we're still not ready to grasp that next chapter, that next big thing. And we're just kind of comforted in our, like I said, our own mediocrity. I'm not so sure that this next one's not the holdback for me, for you, and you, and you, and all of us. And it's namely this. We resist the faith that is within us. You said, can you show me that? Yes, in the scriptures. We're never going to ask for more. We're never going to attain more. We're never going to achieve greater until we do what we've got with what we've got. As your pastor, I've got dreams and aspirations and hopes as well as you. I'm hoping that you do. You've got somebody you're praying for, somebody you're witnessing to. I don't care if his name is the one that you keep bringing up in our prayer room or the one that you might be referencing. But we need to continue praying for them people. You've got a work to do, Sam. Let's continue doing that work. But don't resist the faith. Here's what happens when you resist the faith. The Bible says in the 11th chapter, and this is your hall of faith. This is the standard. This is where we go to when we want to find out what people of faith did for God. And you would find that in 11 and 1, the Bible gives us a definition of faith. You said, why are you even bringing that definition of faith up? Because the Bible says that you're saved by grace through what? Through faith. Why would I bring it up? Because that's how you're going to get saved. Where's faith come from, preacher? The Bible says faith comes by hearing. Where's the hearing come from? By the word of God. So here we are, full circle. The Bible said faith is that substance. It's not imaginary, Brother John. Faith is the substance. What is substance? Substance contains matter. Substance has to have some kind of consistency to it. That's something that you want to grab a hold of. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. You said, show me that in the scriptures. The Bible said that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, he's got God's blessing on him. And God comes up and sits down with Brother Noah and says, Noah, judgment's upon the land. He said, I've searched this thing over and men's hearts are only evil continually. Every imagination in a man's heart is wicked. Everything that man thinks about is wicked. And because of that, Noah, I'm going to destroy this place. There's going to come a flood of waters. The fountains beneath and the skies above are going to give their water. We're going to flood this place, Noah. But I have found grace. I have found faith in you. The Bible said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Then he starts telling him, I want you to build this big boat, this ark. Now, brother, if Noah doesn't start hewing timbers, if Noah doesn't start driving pegs, I'm telling you, my friend, he's not going to get anywhere. If he resists that faith, and he said, well, God, you told me you're going to do this. You make the boat, and then I'll get the people in it. That's not what he said. He said, you found grace in my sight, and because of your faith, I want you to do this. And here it is in the scriptures. The Bible says in the book of 11th chapter, the book of Hebrews, here we are. We go up verse number 7. Oh, you got a few others, and I didn't mean to skip Abel or Enoch. I just went straight to Noah. The Bible says in verse number 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things that had not yet seen. He hadn't seen, Brother Tim had never reigned before. But it's going to. The Lord's never came back the second time, but he's going to. You've not died yet, but you're going to. There's a whole lot of things that factor in here. And bless God, I'm trying to ask you and trying to get you to understand this, Brother Stephen. Bless God, you won't ask for the hard things if you won't do the simple things. If we just content. There's an old rear admiral in the Navy. Get a great speech. I'd love to show it here sometime. Maybe I will. But he says, start off by making your bed. If you don't make your bed, you won't do the greater things. If you don't do the simple, you won't do the greater. What's the first thing they taught all of our veterans? Where's my veterans at? Raise your hand up, you veterans. What'd they teach us? The first thing they do, Brother Woody, make your bed up. Fix them 45s. Fix them corners. Better be tight. Why? Because if you're not faithful in the least, you're not going to be faithful in the greater. Bible said, oh, Noah, here he is in that verse of scripture I started out. And there he was. He said, he didn't see it. By faith, Noah, being warned of the things of not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his household, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteous, which is by faith. Look at Abraham. By faith, when Abraham was called to go out to a place that he should go, that he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, he went out, not knowing whether he went. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what God's going to do. And when Elisha asked that of Elijah, he did not fully comprehend what he was asking for, but God was going to give it to him because he asked of the double portion. Elijah said, Elisha, you've asked for a hard thing, but if you see me, it's as good as done. I'm not going to preach all that, but I don't want you to resist, or I don't want you to rebel against the faith wherein you have. I don't want you to be content with just living and working and coming to church one time a week, two times a week, and just rocking yourself to sleep. You got kids and grandkids. You're going to be a grandpa again. Congratulations. If you didn't know, Thomas and Jordan getting ready to have a baby. But they're going to be grandparents again. You need to be a godly example unto that little child. We've all got somebody that's watching us. Go down through there real quick. I'm not going to hit them all, but the Bible says in verse number 4, by faith Abel. Verse number 5, by faith Enoch. Verse number 7, it says by faith Noah. Verse number 8, by faith Abraham. And verse number 9, by faith he sojourned. It goes on down and it goes and says, and by number 20, it says by faith Isaac. And then verse number 21, by faith Jacob. Verse number 22, by faith Joseph. Verse number 23, by faith Moses. You get what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying? Don't resist or don't rebel against the faith when God calls you, Brother Chris, or saves you, or whatever. You got to walk into that. Are you saved? You know that. Say amen. Amen. Now, are you also called to preach? By faith, you stepped out to do that. By faith, you stepped out to get saved. By faith, you stepped out to preach. Now, walk in that. Whatever it is, walk in that. That mantle was passed some 10 years ago, Brother Tam. And then I look back on that 10 years, and it's just like that. And I'm thinking to myself, have I walked worthy of the vocation? Have I done what God would have me to do? Oh, I have failed Him miserably on many accounts. I've walked in His will, but I've walked out of His will. And, brother, that's between me and God. I had to deal with that stuff. But then I asked myself, why don't I ask for more? Why don't I ask for the hard thing? Why don't I ask for twice as much? It's what? God's God. Brother, this book is our compass. Yes. This book is our whole guidebook for everything going. Now, if you're going to ask for a double portion of anything, Brother Scott, why wouldn't we want a double portion of the Spirit of God? Not a double portion of higher learning or a double portion of money or a double portion. If I had a double portion of money, it might take me away from God rather than to God. Brother Woody brought that illustration up very, very perfectly in our Sunday school class this morning. When he gets up and he pulls out his billfold and he pulls out a couple $100 bills and he said, this right here could take me away from God. And that's the truth. Macy, if you come over, and Brother Scott, I want to ask you a question. Are you willing to ask for the hard thing? Preacher, I'm lost. And that hard thing for me right now is stepping out. Yes, because you're regarding fear. Brother Tommy, you've not been saved just a few years. Wasn't that a hard thing to step out? Wasn't that a hard thing, Brother Robbie, whenever you stepped out to get saved? I can only imagine your dear wife. She thought she was saved, but she's over at Charity Hill Baptist Church. Do you know the courage it took that woman, Brother Robbie, to step out and say, I'm not saved? I remember Brother Joey was sitting back here. Joey was our youth leader. He was our youth leader. Chelsea, he was leading the youth. Brother Joey steps out, and they're not laying out this morning. They went to Brother Amos's church, and Mia was playing and singing or something up there. But Joey comes down that side over there, and I'm up in the choir, and I'm thinking, well, I'm going to go down here and pray Brother Joey. Don't know what Joey's got on his mind. He's our youth leader, probably praying for one of the youngins. You remember what happened, Brother Greg? Joey got saved by God's grace. Steve Fall steps out over there one day. Steve's been coming here for a long time. Makes his way over here to this little corner. Wonder what Brother Steve's needing. Brother Steve's over here getting saved by God's grace. Miss Keela, come over here and pray. What's Keela praying about? I don't know what Keela's praying about. Keela's getting saved. Brother Tim, it takes that courage to resist that fear. Don't regard fear, resist it. But see, we resist faith and regard fear. We are to regard faith and resist fear. But we got it twisted. We do. All through my life, I've always questioned and wondered, how come that happened? Wonder why this happened. I've got five brothers, as y'all well know. He was too little, but three of us went to join the service on the same day. Troy had a bad eye. Eric joined the Army. I joined the Air Force. Robbie said, somebody got to take care of Mama. So he stayed home to take care of Mom. Good choice. He was just a kid. I've wondered about that career path, Tam. What was I doing? Why did I go into the military? But you know what? All of those life experiences, Brother Kenny, molded me to who I am on this day, standing here before you. I've told y'all that story about how that I was on a pulpit committee. And on that pulpit committee, oh, my heart was just broken and I didn't understand everything going on. But Brother Tam, we had to leave the church that I was so ingrained in, teaching Sunday school, opening up, superintendent. She's playing and she's singing and playing the piano and doing all this. But God led us away from there. I'm like, why in the world are we having to leave our church? We ended up at a church down the road a little ways. Brother Tommy Mathis became my pastor. Now, Brother Tim, I did not understand that for one iota. Just didn't make any sense to me. We went down there, got our batteries charged, and We ended up going right back to the church we left. Now, what sense does that make in anybody's right thinking? We went right back to the church we had left. Brother Tommy also resigned. Brother Tommy became the pastor at Mountain Valley Baptist Church. Until the day that I went down there, I never met Brother Tommy Mathis. But because he's pastoring over there, now I'm back in my home church and I step out on faith to preach God's word. One of the third places I preached was at Mountain Valley. You said, what's that all about? I become the pastor of Mountain Valley. You said, wait a minute, where's this thing going? It's going full circle. I preached all those years there, over 5 years. Told the church 3 times in the year prior to leaving that the Lord was done with my work. Didn't know where he was sending me. Don't know where I'm going. And it was in December that your daddy called me to come over here and run a revival. Me and Brother Feldman didn't get back and say, okay, you step down. I'm going to step down. We're going to work this thing. Didn't even come up. But on the very next Sunday following that revival, I resigned up there. Brother Feldman resigned over here. 4 months later, I became your pastor. You said, what's it all about? It's about staying in God's will and staying focused, asking for the hard things. Miss Cindy will tell you, one of the last messages I preached leaving Mountain Valley was the prayer of Jabez. Anybody know the prayer of Jabez? Prayer of Jabez, that you keep me from evil, keep your hand upon me. And what's that other one to back part of that? What is it? Enlarge my coast. Well, I got a coast enlargement when I come up here. As Brother Scott's got us a song and Miss Macy's here, how are you going to approach this? How are you going to approach this message? Are you going to be willing to ask for the hard thing? Are you going to move beyond the mantle, or are you just going to let it lay there? Brother Chris, had Elijah left the mantle of Elisha lay there, guess what? He would have forfeited all those blessings. He would have missed them. I surely believe that in my heart, Brother Tam. He said that he took up the mantle of Elijah. We're beyond the mantle. Rob, you're beyond your day of grace. You're beyond your day of salvation. You've taken on that mantle of grace. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to achieve greatness for the cause of Christ? You're just going to let it kind of just lay there. I trust that you'll do something with it today. And if you're here and you're lost, resist that fear rather than regard it. And let faith come in and do its job.
354, I surrender all.
As we sing.